This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Candyman, a podcast that is not about the original Candyman movie, which could have starred a relatively unknown Sandra Bullock if Virginia Madsen hadn't taken the lead role. Instead, we're going to be talking about Sweet Tooth on Netflix, which is finally back for season three. And later on in the show, we're going to be reviewing Snow Caps, that classic movie theater candy.
I'm Snow Alex. Caps. I'm Justin, Mr. Snowcap Tyler.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about the first episode, the season three premiere of the final season of Sweet Tooth. The beginning the end. We are back. We indeed are. If you haven't watched it, go watch it on Netflix. All episodes are there, but we're going to go one by one because that's how we roll. That's how we do. We also have to pace out Pete's candy addiction. Make sure he doesn't eat eight candies in one day because that could be bad, Pete.
Here's the thing, Alex. We don't know that he's not eating eight candies in one day. We're trying to protect him from eating 16 candies in one day.
Right. That's true. The camera standard. The camera's only on for the period of time we're taping the podcast. We can't track him otherwise. But, Pete, is that something you'd be up for, like some sort of tracker? Nope.
Okay. Nope.
All right. Why don't we jump into the episode, that brief bit of overview in the a lot of big stuff went down at the end of season two. We did away with General Abbott. Also, sadly, Amy died. In the apocalyptic ending here, thanks to some visions from Gus, he and the rest of his makeshift family have decided to travel to Alaska to rescue Birdie from whatever trouble she is in. Birdie is his mom. In this episode, we get to see the beginnings of that journey to Alaska, but we also see what's going on with Birdie. And turns out there's a lot more people around her than I think we thought there were necessarily. She ultimately gets attacked by not a new organization, but I believe an extension of the organization run by Mrs. Helen Zhang, who we got to see a little bit of the last season. She was a nemesis who didn't agree with what was going on with General Abbott and has some moves of her own and has a family of her own as well, who is going after Gus and company with the thanks of some feral animal children. Plus, we're getting some big mythology stuff this episode as we flash all the way back to the ship that started it all, started the plague. And Pete, to start right there, I thought of you right off because we're beginning this episode with a scene with people doing the shaky pinky.
So much pinky in this. Pinkies are popping, my guy.
Pinkies be popping. Were you okay? Because I was like, oh, I'm so glad Sweet Tooth is back. And then
what's
I saw
in
that
the cave?
Like, oh, no.
What's in the cave?
Probably it's a pinky
Gwyneth
stabilizer.
Paltrow's head. Oh, we had two different answers.
Oh, man.
Fucking cave.
Well, what did you, before we even get to the specifics there, I jumped ahead. What did you guys think? Because my big reaction watching the show again was like, oh, I feel good. Like, I know there's some horrible things going down, but this show is like a warm blanket of a show that goes over you. Yeah, yes. Particularly when James Brolin's voice pops in and he's like, the end is the beginning. Snow is cold. I love it.
I would be willing to wager $1,000 that James Brolin's last words will be the narration to the final episode of this.
Oh, no. That's dark. Man,
oh, man. He sounds like he's on the edge.
So you're saying like he's on the edge. He's been gone for a while at this point.
100%. Oh, they're holding that death reveal.
This is my ghost.
I haunt Netflix top 10 show list.
I kind of went through an emotional roller coaster where I was just like, when it started, I was like, oh, it's so great to be back. Look at these beautiful sprawling shots of the countryside. I was like, this is really nice. And then I forgot about all the tension that is with this show. And I was just like, oh, yeah, this is stressful as fuck. These people running around blind out here just trying to get lucky and avoid just total chaos. So, I'm so happy it's back. I love the show, but I forgot about how stressful it is.
I also really enjoy this show. And similar to you, Alex, this show has a comfort level to it. And also, like, what an unlikely show to weather the content storm of the last few years and to be able to finish their tale. It's really nice.
Get a tail?
Yeah. This what? Oh, because they have, some people the have
animals.
Tails.
Animals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Animals. Tails.
But the way this...
Yes. Sorry. I thought we were saying animal parts.
I thought we were just yelling stuff.
Yeah, that's what a podcast is, random shoutings in the darkness. What I'm trying to say, though, is that I think this show, it's such a wander. The journey, thinking back to where this started, when you had Will Forte.
Will Forte. Remember Will Forte?
That feels like a million years ago, I think. Yeah. The second season went so far and took us on such a journey that this is really almost like a pretty hard reset. It's almost like a first season of a different show here.
It is interesting, particularly because the second season, like you're saying, went so wide. We had so many animal children, and we had this huge conflict. And now, I guess we'll see where we go over the course of the 8 episodes. But we're really focused on Gus, Jep, Wendy, and
I was really
I was wondering if you could get them all. Becca, I believe.
Becca, there we go.
Becky, yeah. I was really feeling Jep, you know what I mean, this episode, because he's just like, yeah, I can't take this anymore, man. I'm getting too old for this shit. This is just too much. You guys are insane. We have no plan. This is just...
what did you feel about this? Like, what is going on with Jep in this episode? Because for anybody who maybe watched a while ago for whatever reason and is listening to this podcast, just as a brief bit of recap. So Jep really wants them to stock up before they go to Alaska. He's also giving everybody a million outs to get out of here. He's like, this is going to be bad. We're probably going to die. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do this. Anybody else want to like opt out of this? And they end up going to a casino filled with old people to try to gamble.
Which is kind of funny.
Yes, we'll get to the specifics of that in a second. To gamble for some food, they doesn't work. They do get like a couple of warm things and a little bit, but ultimately get caught in an avalanche. Jep almost dies, is like, I'm going home. Guest gives an inspirational speech, and then he's like, actually, I'm going with you. What did you think about this arc? What did you think specifically about Jep here in this episode?
Well, I think also you got to talk about what Jep has been through before this. Like, they've narrowly avoided...
The NFL.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Hard.
I'm just saying they've narrowly... Each season has been like...
Actually, do we know it's the NFL? Because he might have been on the XFL.
That's right.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. He hate me. Is he hate me?
Anyways.
Didn't get my reference?
Nope. Didn't get it, but... I appreciated it.
And in the XFL, you got to put sort of whatever you wanted on the back of your jersey. And so that led to some fun jersey names. Mm-hmm. I think he was in the NFL. So, Pete, I'm sure what you're about to say is that, like, you want to see how his contract negotiations went. Where did he get picked in the draft? Like, what teams were competing?
I like the honesty of somebody who has been through a lot. And it's saying, hey, guys, we're really pressing our luck here. We barely escaped the last couple of adventures we've been on. Like, let's, you know, stop walking into danger and hole up somewhere.
Well, yeah, I get there's some real world stuff, but I mean, a couple things about it. I just found it strange that Jeff was like, and as for Sweet Tooth, I ride with him no matter what. I follow where he takes me is like, I think, a direct quote. And then like half hour later, he's like, I'm not going anywhere with you, guy. I'm done. This avalanche has changed me. And then Sweet Tooth is like, please. And he's like, all right, let's go to Alaska. So like, it's a little strange. And I think there's something in the sort of Joseph Campbell, like resisting the call to adventure here, where he is like this episode is about him resisting the call, but it's inevitable that he's going to take it. So I'm just a little surprised that Jep is where he is in this when we know he's going to go because he rides.
I'm just saying my point is sometimes when you're watching a television show, it's like every time you see the character, it's like their first time. I like the fact that the other stuff is affecting him and he's not just kind of resetting as a character every time. You know what I mean? So the struggle, I appreciate the fact that even though it's weird to kind of flip-flop, I still appreciate the fact that what they're doing is kind of crazy and a normal, sane person.
The grounding of it.
Yes.
That makes sense. Especially, I'm sure you identified with him talking about how old his knees are, his old knees.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Because his was a football injury. Yours was that old improv injury.
My knees are made of snow caps now. That's all I got for knees is just snow caps.
That's good, because snow caps definitely isn't candy. It's definitely something else. I think it's old women's earrings.
We're not quite there yet.
It's the backs of earrings.
Backs of old people's earrings. I was surprised, just to stay on the Jep thing, because I think like there's some tangential connections, or maybe explicit connections, in terms of Jep being like, no, I'm getting older, I don't know if I can do this, and they end up in a casino full of old people. I was kind of surprised that wasn't the whole episode. Like, it felt like there was enough there that they could have tied everything closely. Instead, this very interesting setting with a bunch of old people that look like they're living Jeff Lemire drawings, the way that they're all made up and everything.
I loved all of that.
Awesome. Yeah, that was hysterical.
There could have been a closer tie there. And maybe this is just me. Like, I don't need people to be like, I'm stating what the moral is out loud or anything. But it sort of like skirted what was going on with everybody without quite connecting, I felt like.
Well, I thought it was a kind of fun thing for them to kind of stumble across in a post-apocalyptic world. And also, I love the reason that they're there. They're like, well, we come here every weekend anyway. Why wouldn't we? You know what I mean? So I do think it's interesting to see where people decide to hold, up in a post-apocalypse. We've seen people like go to stadiums or different places. So I thought it was a fun.
Where would you go, Pete?
Home Depot. I would just hide. Because you got everything there. You know what I mean? All the tools.
Do they have food?
Yeah, there's like Gatorade and, there's plants. You can grow carrots there in the garden section.
My family's doing a Gatorade for Thanksgiving this year.
Oh, smart.
Got to carve up the old Gatorade. Yum, yum. Yeah. Citrus frost.
Do you brine it or do you like deep fry it? What do you do? Yeah.
Oh, how about you guys?
Or Gatorade, right?
Hey, how about you guys?
You brine a blue Gatorade and a red one.
Of course.
Zalvin, come on. Zalvin, you going to Cornell? You're going to hole up in Cornell?
Yeah, I'll drive the 7.5 hours to Cornell in a zombie apocalypse or whatever.
Smart.
I don't know. I've always kind of thought, like, in full disclosure, full honesty, in any sort of apocalyptic situation, I'm like, I'm not going to survive.
That is a weird. I will say,
just going to stand there and go, all right.
No, I mean, obviously, I'll try to survive. But any time I watch one of these shows, I'm not like, yeah, I'm Daryl Dixon of The Walking Dead.
But where are you going?
Nope.
It's happening. Where are you going?
Daryl's like, I can't save that guy.
Are you going to Prospect Park? Where are you going if it happens tonight?
It's very funny to me, Alex, that even in a thought exercise, you're like, I'm dead. It's like, Alex, Dad, what are we having for dinner? You're like, I'm dying probably.
I'm not going to think about it. Yeah. In the fridge. Well, what about you, Justin? Where are you going?
Here, and I think this is actually pretty forward thinking. You go to Home Depot, Pete, everyone's going to Home Depot. Any grocery store, anything, everyone's going there. You know where they're not going? A grocery distribution warehouse. That's where the food is, but you don't think about that because it has no windows. There's food there.
Oh, man, you're right.
I'm going to give a better answer than I'm going to die. I would go, there's this place a couple of blocks away from me called Urban Air, which is a trampoline park for kids. Very fun. They got slushies. They got pizzas. They got hot dogs. They got stuff for the kids to do. And if it is a zombie apocalypse or whatever, we got some trampolines we can bounce away from them on, stuff we can climb on to stay high up. We'll be good to go.
That is fun. I remember that.
So your plan is a bouncy house, and you made fun of me for picking Home Depot. Cool, bro. Cool, man.
Remember that season of Walking Dead where they had to get slushies to survive?
I do.
That's you, Alex. Sweet. They did a whole season, I believe, on that.
Yeah, it was 45 episodes. Great. We've established this. I did really like the casino. I wish we got more of it. Moving on to another character, though.
Are we going to talk about stuff a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, I have some thoughts about how about the fact that the Sweet Tooth Gang falls for a classic
put
lasagna?
Put it down.
It's not time for snow caps.
Come on, man.
You know how this works. Time. Half the podcast, we talk about the show. Once that's out of the way, then we get onto the kids.
You have to do the work.
There's a ticking clock on this podcast that none of our other podcasts have, and it makes me very nervous. Go ahead, Justin.
Pete is a ticking time bomb. There's attached to that clock, Alex, is dynamite, just so you know. It's not just a clock. The Sweet Tooth Crew falls for a classic lasagna trap where they get drawn in. I think we've all been there. And then I really liked the way that Sweet Tooth gets them with the gambling addiction. Mm-hmm. He's like, how do we crack these people? People that when the end of the world is coming, they don't go to see their loved ones. They go to the old casino to pull on the one-armed bandits one more time.
One last time.
I also appreciated that it was kind of realistic there. Like, you expect he's going to win and use his Sweet Tooth magic to get rid
of
him.
How is he? Like, what was his plan there? It was a bad plan.
He doesn't understand roulette.
Deer powers to sense what number it's going to fall on?
Well, what I did like about that is it played against our sort of TV intentions as well as his magical understanding of what his life has been like. He's like, oh, this will work out because everything has worked out so far, and then it doesn't. And I like that as potentially as a theme for this episode, but also a theme for the season, because it does feel like that's we're going to be sort of upsetting these narrative ideas a lot, especially when you're trying to gamble syrup for clothes, which, of course, we all know is a classic Canadian gambit where you try to get
syrup for Canadian tuxedos. Usually the hand
I believe that's
there.
How Justin Trudeau won, right?
It's a classic Canadian political bribe. Another syrup for clothes scam.
I do think syrup is good enough to be currency. I agree with that, though.
We got the casino thing. I did want to, while we're on this, let's talk about the friendship between Sweet Tooth and Wendy, which I thought was great this episode. They were obviously in dire circumstances in the last season, so we didn't get to see them kind of just like being kids, other than when they were playing with the other animal kids, and them giggling about Idaho potatoes and the lasagna and everything. I thought that was great. I love their relationship here. I thought
making packs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I think this cast is a really nice, they boiled everything down to just this crew. And I think it's a really good mix of people with different ideas and different varying levels of quality joints in their knees.
Yeah. I will also say on the surprising front, another trope type thing, the avalanche. I was like, this doesn't usually happen like this. This is like you're in the snowy part of the mountain, somebody yells and it causes an avalanche versus like, here we are in the regular woods. Oh, avalanche.
I agree. I was like, that's not an avalanche. There's no snow. And then there was like, oh, I guess there's snow way up high. It was like in a cartoon when someone's in the desert and a wave hits them. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, and one other thing on that before I forget. So this show is filmed in or was filmed in New Zealand. And it definitely reminded me like, oh, right. There's a lot of landscapes there from Lord of the Rings. That's it.
Yeah. They have everything. I also like that we get there's a little connection between he and Birdie. We'll talk about the Birdie stuff in a sec. And then Gus straight up zombies out of the snow and then hits them with a smell. You can smell them because, of course, Jeopard stinks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, man.
He does, stinks. Though. Come on. When has he last taken a bath? The avalanche is kind of a bath, but
they would all stink. It wouldn't just be Jep. I don't know why you guys are just attacking the Jep man. They would all stink.
This is nothing against the rest of them. He is a big guy who sweats a lot. So there you go.
It's fine to say they all stink.
They all stink. I'm sure the animal children do not smell particularly good either.
Yeah. One other thing I want to say is I thought it was strange that the woman from the casino gives them a top hat. Are we going to get a Frosty the Snowman situation here?
Oh, man, I hope so.
And then with the avalanche, I was like, is there going to be a snowman that's going to come out of that and wear that hat?
I did like Gus on that hat, though. That was pretty good.
It was nice.
Maybe he'll pull a rabbit child out of the hat. I don't know where I was going with that. Should we talk about the birdie stuff? Because that's some wild mythology stuff as well. As I mentioned to the recap portion, was very surprised there are other people where she is. I kind of just assumed she was alone in Alaska, but we meet mother and daughter who have befriended her and are like, you're going to save the world with your research. They seem to know all about it. She gets attacked by this cowboy guy who I assume is connected to Mrs. Zhang. That's our sort of big action portion for the episode. What'd you think about all of this stuff, guys?
Well, it's nice to see moms for sure, but it's definitely stressful because I'm like, oh God, one of them has to stay in a place and then the other one can go get them. Having them both leave, I'm just like, they're just going to go pass. Yeah. And that's going to be too stressful to deal with. So, it was kind of crazy how that one lady was like, it's really all up to you. Like, we're all depending on your research. And she's like, well, I appreciate that, but you have your child and I'm going to go find mine. And it's like, okay, all right, sure. But it's kind of weird that maybe the whole fate of the world is resting on your research and you're like, peace. Not like, hey, can you go get my kid or something else where we can figure something out? Or it's like, hey, kid, here's all my research. You take over. I'm not a scientist. Good luck.
That I was like, what is the purpose of this? When she gives her the Thackeray book, I was like, why would she give it to the kid? It's very strange. I really liked the husky kid. It was cool. The eyes, very cool.
Yeah,
but I agree with you. It is a weird. It's weird that it's such a like utopia up there, and it's weird. And what was the woman's job? Who she was talking to? She was like the bartender or something.
Yeah,
and she's like, "Hope you're doing a good job. I'm doing a good job making drinks, but you need to save us all."
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not quite sure what's happening there. It felt like we were doing a lot of setup for the season and resetting, like you were saying earlier, Justin. So we'll have to see how it plays out. There's also maybe a connection of like the refusal of the call thing with Birdie that's going on that maybe connects with Jep. But again, I think it feels a little like two trains passing in the night.
Yeah, just felt like it was like, well, if she gets captured, she can't have her research on her, so she like gives it to the kid or something, you know what I mean? For this very important action figure that also doubles as the sharpest knife you've ever seen. Cuts through people's coats, stabs them. I was just like, man, this action figure really came in handy. Really saved the day.
The little sharp thing that the girl gives her.
Yeah. That was an action figure?
Well, she like made, it's supposed to be like a little figurine.
Statue.
Have you ever killed anybody with a G.I. Joe? Because I definitely have. Pete?
That's got to be a dream of yours, Pete.
Did it have the kung fu grip? Who did you use?
That's how I killed them. They were like, hi-ya.
I use murder weapon when I killed someone.
Oh, smart. Okay. Yeah.
Is that the right choice?
Yeah.
So I was going to go with snow job, but I went with the murder weapon.
Well, snow job's good because it comes with that snowmobile. You can stab somebody with that snowmobile. Oh, you know what I mean?
We basically had a snow job in this episode.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. It would have been cool if snow job showed up and saved the day. You know what I mean?
I thought it was funny that our snow job here, he tranks Birdie, chases her, and then he pulls out the tiniest little gun to shoot her with and is able to shoot her. This sequence, it's different than a lot of other action sequences, and I think the show just approaches everything a little bit differently. It just felt like the details were unique.
It was weird, though, that it was like, okay, I tranked her, I shot her snowmobile, my job's done, no need to follow up, see how she is or anything like that. I'll just leave her.
I think she escaped was the idea. Like she got tranked and did escape into the snow and the guy couldn't find her from there.
Yeah. I mean, all you would have to do is listen for the snowmobile making noise as she drove away. I don't understand how you could lose somebody out there.
When I was a kid, we got a used snowmobile for Christmas one year, and someone stole it Christmas night. And we were like, let's follow the tracks.
Yeah, it's real easy to...
Was it Santa?
Yeah, it was like sort of a reverse Santa.
Oh, man.
Takes away
presents. Did you just leave it like parked out in front of your house? Like, how did somebody steal it? Was it under the tree?
No, we left it in front of the house. That's where you keep snowmobiles usually, is outside.
Yeah, for sure. Keys in the ignition and everything.
That, there was the mistake, Alex.
There we go. Yeah. I would think maybe in a garage or something or a shed locked up so no one could steal it.
Before we move on to Pete's favorite section of the show, we should mention I love the return of Sing at the end of this episode. I thought that was a great cliffhanger here. Good to see him again. That's definitely going to complicate things. Justin,
That was when the doc walked in. It was a nice kind of phew, oh no, what does this mean kind of moment.
Sorry, I just heard like the clap of the snowcast where Pete was like, I'm ready to go. Oh, I'm not ready to go. Okay, let's get back to this.
Yeah. Snowcaps keep coming up. Very loud candy.
Don't open it. Don't taste it yet.
Horrible Justin, movie candy. Yeah, so Justin. I have a couple things. This hoofed man who grabs Birdie, we didn't discuss that. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think that's like an animal adult, right?
I think exactly that. And then we also have the dog wheelies who are on their case, which I thought they were fun and scary. Wheelies from Return to Oz is my reference there.
Oh, I thought you meant the wheelies on the bottom of the shoe.
Mm. No.
Isn't that wheelers?
Maybe it's wheelers. Then we have, I've never seen someone so excited to sit on a beanbag.
Pete, calm down.
He's wrapping up.
You don't know that.
We don't move on to the next segment until we're done. And you've like bitten a hole in the top of your snowcaps like some sort of little mouse. I've never seen someone so excited to sit on a beanbag as Wendy. Real beanbag head.
Oh, man, she's a beanbag head. Yeah, yeah. She was like, beanbags? Sick! Yeah.
They're
the most comfortable.
Don't you get excited when you see a beanbag? I want to sit on a beanbag right now. Beanbags are not
uncomfortable and difficult.
What are you talking about? The most comfortable. Hard to get out of, I'll give you that. But
think about this. Think about the most comfortable substance to sit on. Immediately, your mind. Beans. Thank you. Yes.
Dried, uncooked beans. Yum, yum. Just think of the snack. Maybe that's a great place for you to go in an apocalypse, is some sort of bean bag.
You're
going
to have to wrap up because I think we lost Pete at this point.
Last thing. I thought it was a great move and very fun / slightly horrifying when those old fucks in the casino lose and they drink the syrup straight right in front of them.
Oh, yeah.
Those were some great shots. They were really good. Yeah. They're like, literal shots of syrup.
Oh, man, that syrup looks so delicious.
It made me a little bummed out that we blew it by having syrup as the thing that we tasted at the end of last season. I was like, we should have saved it for this season. But
yeah,
is what it is.
Oh, well. And that's all the time we have for Candyman.
Yes. Why don't we move on? Let's talk about the candy. Just to clarify, great episode, even if we had some criticisms about it. Very happy to have the show back. So, as mentioned, we're talking about snowcaps.
Yes, snowcap mountains of the Rockies.
Yes. Now, I didn't look this up, but I believe this candy was invented several hundred years ago. Made it once, all of them. And they've just been sort of like pulling from that silo ever since. Is that correct?
Honestly, this candy feels like a natural resource that someone mines in a very flavorful area of the world.
This is like very – I've seen – how do you pronounce it? Nonpareils? Yeah. Whatever it is. Like that's a classic like 1920s, 1930s candy that somehow became this thing that's in every movie theater in the entire world that I don't
What's weird to me is it says semi-sweet. Like, why wouldn't you say sweet chocolate?
But it's not. It's a categorization of chocolate.
Let me just say, I've never eaten this candy. I've never had the urge to order this candy. This candy feels like an artifact or something made up for a movie. No,
well, here's the thing. It's basically chocolate chips with little candy balls on it. That's pretty much it.
Candy balls?
The candy balls are like hard knobs.
Yeah, like sprinkles.
So we got balls and knobs? Is that what
you're
saying?
And here's the thing. I don't mind them.
People in Ireland
because you're getting
hilarious.
Semi-sweet chocolate chips, getting the crunchy candy, but it's never anything I would get on purpose.
Oh. Well, it really is just It's like a chocolate chip put on a little dress, and it's going out to a
chocolate chips in sprinkles is what it is.
I just don't understand how they lasted this long. That's the thing, because it's fine, but this is, you could put it in cookies. Like, it's not something that I would.
Alex, here's the thing. What do people like about chocolate chip cookies? The chips.
Right.
Get rid of all the cookie mess. You don't need any of that. And you just got the chip and the chips, and then you got to dress them up a little bit so it isn't just a bag of cooking stuff.
But I also, I don't love the, I mean, they're not sprinkles. They're like non-pariahs or whatever that name is. I don't know.
The consistency.
Non-pariahs.
Yes. They just, like, they get caught in your teeth and they roll around.
No, the consistency is fun. It's fun consistency.
I keep reaching back into the box and eating them. So what am I doing?
I got to say, I agree with Pete. I like the crunch.
Yeah, it's fun.
And honestly, I like chocolate chips. I thought they were going to have a bunch of extra flavor getting in the way. Mm-hmm. It's just chocolate chips with a little bit of...
I thought
of,
they'd be bigger because of the picture on the box.
Yeah, but you get a lot of them.
I don't know about you guys, but there's no plastic in here, which I find annoying with movie theater candy, like a bag that you have to get it out of. Just pour it in the box anyway.
I don't know. It keeps it fresher. Like it. You seal it up, man.
These don't need to be fresh.
Yeah.
What's the expiration date? 2055? Something like that?
26 is on mine.
26, yeah. February. Wait, do we all have the same date? February 1st, 2026.
January 18th, 2026.
Mm. Mine says yesterday.
Oh!
That's Ben.
Go run and kiss your kids and tell them you love them.
Not my favorite.
Filled by a snow cap.
I'll eat all of these, mind you. Like, I will definitely eat this entire box by the end of the day, but not my favorite.
This is the first thing I'm putting in my stomach today, so I'm definitely on a real trip.
Breakfast of champions, man. Did you already finish, Pete?
No.
What would you eat for breakfast today? A box of snow caps? I think you need to check into some sort of clinic.
Well, that's what they did back in the day in the 1920s. You'd check into a clinic and they'd hand you a box of snow caps and be, here's your health tablets. And
you're clearly insane.
It would work. That was the crazy part. That's why they're so popular.
Right. Cured cancer.
It's a cure-all.
Mm-hmm. See, back then, though, the creativity with candy, you just had to do like one thing. And then do one extra thing to garnish it. It's chocolate chips with little white dots on them.
This doesn't suck, man. I'm really impressed with how much this doesn't suck.
This is way better than the other candies that we're talking about doing this season, which I'm not excited for.
Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself.
This is a good candy.
No previews.
I'm not giving a preview. I'm just saying some of the things. Some of the things, Pete. Some of the things, Pete.
You guys have a nice time. I'm high on chocolate over here, and you're fucking up my shit, man.
You are.
Some of the things. Stop swearing. Some of the things that Pete's suggesting are not. I wouldn't eat these in an apocalypse. They sound like they're like chemical.
For the last episode,
classic motherfucker.
For the last episode, we'll taste sticking your head in a vat of sugar. See what happens.
We should be so lucky. I
just Winnie the Pooh it. Oh my God! Yeah,
we're gonna be eating like chemical sweet dust at one point. I'm sure.
I hope this show never dies.
I guess maybe a good start at least to the season, both for the episode and
I love. I'm kicking it off. I love the episode. I love the candy. When are we gonna get to some real food like pickles?
What? There is pickle candy. We could do that. We'll see what happens on this season.
Stop pushing your pickle agenda.
If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts, we do patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Sweet Tooth. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X. Comic Book Club Live on Instagram and TikTok. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, the Candyman can.
It's called Sweet Tooth, you asshole, not Pickle Bros, so stop it.
Uh-oh, new podcast alerts.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.